You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. In Roseburg, Oregon, an unconventional approach to addressing homelessness is drawing both praise and criticism. JPR's Jane Vaughn reports.
Under an overpass, six-foot-tall privacy fencing surrounds a cluster of tents. It's quiet here, except for dogs barking and the dull roar of traffic overhead. A man who calls himself Bear has lived in this homeless camp for 2 years.
We've got a view of the river, so if we want, we can go out there.
There's wooden picnic tables, a collection of tools, and a game table. It's cleaner than most homeless camps I've seen, with trash bins and a shower. There's even a library, Alcoholics Anonymous's The Big Book, and The Hunger Games.
We try to make it feel more like a family thing, you know, like everybody's family. We live really close together. There are times where we do get in on each other's nerves, but, you know, by the end of the day, we got each other's backs.
There are a lot of rules. The camp can have maximum 10 tents, and Bear has been deputized to oversee it as leader. Campers have to sign an agreement when they move in. No drugs or alcohol on site, no fighting, keep your area clean. People who cause trouble have to leave. And everyone is required to work 3 hours a day unpaid. As you might have guessed, this isn't your usual homeless camp run by a city or nonprofit. It's owned and operated by Elk Island Trading Group, a landowner that flips blighted real estate.
We knew that we would never be able to do anything with our properties unless we came up with a solution ourselves.
Operations manager Bernie Woodard runs three homeless camps like this in Roseburg. Elk Island has been running the camps for 2 years on land it owns or leases. Woodard sees this model as a unique remedy for the city's homelessness problem.
Ultimately, our goal is cleaning up our waterways, our city parks, and our city commercial areas from homelessness.
But there's another goal besides helping the homeless: develop Elk Island's properties, revitalize the downtown, and make money. Woodard has some community support. Many residents see these camps as a much-needed solution. Campers sometimes clean up illegal camps around town. And Woodard says Elk Island spends thousands of dollars each month to run these camps. He began working on them 3 years ago, after Roseburg passed a tent camping resolution. It allows nonprofit, public, and commercial entities to run homeless camps. Mayor Larry Rich says the goal was for churches and nonprofits to do it. But he says Woodard is the only one who's opened a site.
No churches stepped forward. No nonprofits stepped forward. Now Bernie's the one that said, hey, I have some vacant lots and let's put them there.
The city doesn't operate any campsites. Mayor Rich says that's for two reasons. City councilors can't agree on where to put a campsite, and the public is never happy with the suggested location. Councilors have considered and rejected multiple sites. So Woodard's camps are the only authorized ones in town. But not everyone is happy about these camps. In July, I walked across a dry riverbed to Elk Island, which the company owns, and found a group of campers putting in their 3 hours a day, raking and clearing brush. Three of them told me Woodard doesn't actually care about his campers and is just doing this for public attention. They wished the camps were managed better and were cleaner. They said they don't feel they have the choice to go somewhere else or they'll get punished for trespassing. In response, Woodard says campers should be more grateful. But the requirement that campers have to work 3 hours a day unpaid on Elk Island's properties could be a problem. Eric Tarz with the National Homelessness Law Center calls this arrangement very disturbing.
A program where an individual is offering a place to stay, but with this condition of unpaid labor, that makes it feel much more exploitative than generous.
A representative from the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries says work must be paid no less than minimum wage, and deductions for housing can't result in zero pay. 3 hours of work a day would come out to almost $1,200 a month in Roseburg. The Bureau representative says it's unlikely this situation would qualify as volunteer work. And anyway, a for-profit business mostly can't accept volunteer services. She says anyone who performed this work for Elk Island might be owed wages and can file a complaint with the Bureau. In a statement, Woodard said he sees this as a landlord-tenant arrangement, not an employment relationship. He said no campers have been removed for not working, and paying people would force him to close the camps. In addition, the relationship between Woodard and the city is contentious, especially with Mayor Rich. He thinks that because of Woodard's past dealings with the city, he shouldn't be trusted.
Me personally, in terms of, do I call him a liar? Yeah. Do I call him a fraudster? Yeah. And so some of them call him the snake oil salesman. And so I haven't done that yet. I just call him a fraudster.
Woodard says the city has mismanaged its homelessness crisis and has threatened him. There have also been lawsuits back and forth, one of them ongoing. In a statement to the mayor, the community development director said Woodard isn't a credible developer. He said Woodard likes to create controversy rather than submitting complete applications. He declined to comment further because of pending litigation. There have been some concerns about Elk Island's camps over the years. In 2024, police say one camp resident was presumed drowned after boating out to the island to work on a dock. Woodard claims the three men involved stole the boat and went out there to smoke weed. And the police have been called to the camps at various points for things like trespassing, vagrancy, and disorderly conduct. One of them had almost 300 calls for service in less than 2 years. But it's next door to The Point, a public park where homeless folks camp illegally. It had almost 2,200 police calls in the same time period. Woodard's other two camps only had a combined 18 police calls during that time. Arian Ritalik, who lives at one of the camps, feels secure there.
You get a lot of safety here that you don't get anywhere else. You don't got to worry about your stuff being taken.
Woodard says his model is better than having a nonprofit run the camps.
And if you put nonprofits in charge of something like homelessness, then you're putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
The thing is, as a private company, Elk Island isn't subject to the same rules and requirements that nonprofits are. For instance, Woodard doesn't have any data showing that his camps are actually getting people out of homelessness.
A lot of people have gotten apartments.
One camp leader estimates more than 20 people have gotten housed, but it's hard to get an exact count, Woodard says.
I don't know the number because I don't even keep track of that. My thing is try to get as many people in the camps that need a safe place, teach them what we're doing, and keep doing positive things.
Some people think having a private company step in is good. Gene McVeigh, with the healthcare provider Adapt, says he wishes more people would do what Woodard has done.
If Bernie is in a situation to be able to fund that himself, you know, I wish more people had the ability to do it because I think people would do it.
Tars from the National Homelessness Law Center says Woodard's approach is unconventional, but not unheard of. He sees these types of camps as useful, but not a permanent solution.
This shouldn't be the duty of a private citizen or even of charitable organizations. The government has a responsibility to its citizens, to its residents, to make sure that their basic needs are met. And they haven't done that.
The Roseburg City Council recently canceled a deal to buy property for an urban campground. Meanwhile, Woodard's camps are still up and running. Jane Vaughn, JPR News.
That was Jane Vaughn reporting. On November 3rd, the City of Grants Pass awarded Elk Island a $1.2 million grant to help address homelessness there, as long as the company is able to secure land. JPR's Jane Vaughn now joins me in the studio to help us learn more. Hey, Jane.
Good morning, Mike.
So let's take a step back. How did you first learn about this story?
Sure. So first off, I do have to make a couple of quick corrections to the audio that we just heard having to do with the police calls. So Elk Island's camps have not had 300 calls. The actual total for those three camps is 71 calls across a period of a little over a year and a half. And that is compared to the public park area. They had more than 1,000 calls during that same time period. And also campers at the parks have to work up to 3 hours. So it's not always exactly 3 hours. So a couple quick corrections there. But to answer your question. I had seen a lot of reporting on these homeless camps. The Roseburg News Review has done a bunch of stories on Bernie Woodard and Elk Island. And so I thought it would be kind of a fun, what we call a solution story. You know, I cover homelessness. This is something that is maybe working to solve homelessness. It's an unconventional approach that I haven't seen before, having a developer do this, not a city or a nonprofit. And so I, you know, had called up Bernie and then it ended up being obviously a much bigger, more complicated story than I expected it to be. And took me about 4 months to do.
Wow, 4 months.
Yep.
Take me through that process. How did that work?
So it started back in July. The story had sort of been on my radar, but on the back burner for a while. And so I talked to Bernie and did some what we call pre-interviews with various people, and then drove up to Roseburg and had our summer intern with us at the time, Emma J. Nelson. And we spent all day in Roseburg interviewing people, taking photos. It was a really long day. It was really hot. It was a 12-hour day. But we went to each of the three Elk Island camps. We interviewed Bernie. We talked to the homeless folks who were living there, the camp leaders. We walked out to Elk Island itself, interviewed people working there, drove around, took a lot of photos. We interviewed the mayor and then came back, you know, to JPR and have spent the last couple months doing a bunch more reporting over a long period of time. So a lot of that is records requests. Did another interview with Bernie, talked to Boley about those potential labor issues, talked to some nonprofits, ADAPT, UCAN, Roseburg Police Chief, really tried to cover our bases, got records from code enforcement, talked to the community development officer, looked at lawsuits, got records, you know, so it's a lot of documents and research and fact checking. And as you heard, it's a pretty complex story that has a lot of layers to it. So it just took a while.
Well, it sounds like you covered the waterfront. What was the most difficult part?
Just basically that, how much there is to it. There's so much information that we've learned over the past four-ish months. And so then the question of what to include, what not to include. You unfortunately can't include everything. What's relevant to this specific topic or story? This is already the longest audio story I've ever done. It's double the length of our normal features. And then, you know, we had a series that we were doing on the Alameda fire in the interim, so I had to sort of step aside to work on that for a little bit. And then it's also just difficult to balance all the different sides and perspectives and opinions. You know, people have really strong opinions about Bernie and about the city and about homelessness in general. And so trying to make sure that we gave everybody a fair shake, we fact-checked everything, and trying to lay it all out in a really straightforward way that also makes sense and is really clear. And as you heard, did have to make a couple of corrections, but it was just a really complicated story that we're trying to balance everything there.
It's a complicated story, and it's a sensitive issue that's
for sure
nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
One of the topics in your story is the public versus private approach.
Mm-hmm.
And based on your extensive reporting on this issue, which strategy do you think might be best suited to address the homelessness crisis? Nonprofits, private companies, government, or some collaborative mixture?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's super complicated. And that was kind of the broader point I was trying to get at in that story is this question. You know, Roseburg is not alone in struggling with a homelessness problem, obviously. And so people are trying to try different things and what's working. There's a lot of pushback against, you know, what Bernie calls the homeless industrial complex, the idea that nonprofits receive funding to address homelessness, so they're not incentivized to actually solve it. But they do have the data because they receive federal funding. They have to have data tracking how many people their housing and their services and all of this other stuff. So they can prove that what they're doing has worked to some extent behind those numbers. Bernie doesn't have any data proving his model is working. He doesn't have to keep it. It's a private company. One camp leader said, as you heard in the story, that 20 people have gotten housed. He doesn't have any record of that. So it's sort of anecdotal. But there's also the argument that even if one person is getting housed, it's working. And Bernie says he has gotten people housed. So it is kind of a balance. You know, the nonprofits sometimes struggle to get funding, and Bernie has the funding, or Elk Island has the funding as a private company. But then there's less rules and regulations of Elk Island, and so you have the concerns about Boley, and he might owe the homeless folks living at the camps thousands of dollars in wages, potentially. So it is sort of a tricky balance. And then the city is also sort of tried to get involved with passing that tent camping resolution. So I kind of come down on there are a lot of pros and cons to all these options. Maybe we need a combination of everything and cities and nonprofits and private companies all working together. So that was sort of the broader question I was trying to look at here, too.
Okay, well, I've heard of the military industrial complex. Now I've heard of the homelessness.
Yes.
Industrial complex.
Yep.
Okay. let's move over to Grants Pass.
Sure.
What's the status of the latest strategy to address homelessness in Grants Pass?
Sure. So you just mentioned it briefly as we were ending the feature, which was kind of a last-minute twist to this story. We had it all ready to go. And then on Monday, I was watching the Grants Pass City Council meeting, which also is dealing with the homelessness crisis. And they've been working on giving out a $1.2 million grant to an entity to address homelessness, and they had given it to one group, a couple of weeks ago. And then on Monday, they decided to rescind that grant and instead give it to Elk Island, give it to Bernie, was the one who made the presentation. So the very last minute had to kind of add that into this feature. So again, just another example of the complications of this story. So Elk Island still has to prove that they can acquire the property in Grants Pass where they want to put their program. So that's to be determined. They have a deadline for that. So we'll keep following that, but it's potential that Elk Island could acquire the property and get this $1.2 million grant to also have a program in Grants Pass as well.
Okay. Do we know if the city of Grants Pass has done their due diligence on Elk Island?
I would assume they have. I mean, the city council reviewed Woodard's application and they interviewed him and asked him questions. And so that's, you know, part of their review and application process.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for your reporting.
Thank you.
My guest was JPR reporter Jane Vaughn.